Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke on with us any minute here. We're doing a statewide town hall meeting here today, taking your phone calls, or if you want to message us on the Montana Talks app, if you have a question or a quick comment, we'll try to get to as many callers as we can, as many of the messages that come in on the app as we can as well. Lots to talk about. I think the first thing I want to ask Congressman Zinke about is his reaction to Vladimir Zelensky and this White House Oval Office meeting on Friday. If you guys watched some of the highlights of the meeting, you really have to go watch the entire thing. And what you will see is that President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance were more than gracious, were more than kind to Zelensky. And for about 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden, Zelensky wants to, you know, pretend to be entitled to our money. I mean, my reaction, I was listening to, after the show wrapped up on Friday, I was hearing this thing live as it was taking place, and I was like, who in the world does this guy think he is? I mean, this guy shows up in his pajamas at the White House. I think one of our listeners made a point earlier on our Montana Talks app. Oh, he had a suit. He had a suit when he showed up to the globalists at the World Economic Forum, but here we've given him $350 billion, and he shows up in his pajamas at the White House, and then he wants to lecture us in our house? I'll tell you what, his own ambassador, I think expressed it better than anybody else. Zelensky's own ambassador was sitting right there in the Oval Office with all the cameras in the room and everything, and she just did a facepalm. I mean, she lowered her head. She had her hand covering her face, I think, because she could see exactly how badly Zelensky was performing at the Oval Office on Friday. But yeah, so we'll have to get to Congressman Zinke's take on that and much more. Plus, here's a big news out over the weekend, frankly. You know, we've talked about this on this show a lot. We've got to log it here. We've got to mine it here. We've got to drill for it here. Look at the destruction of our industrial base here in the United States of America, and especially right here in Montana. I mean, in Montana, we've had these left-wing federal judges and, you know, oftentimes our own left-wing Montana Supreme Court killing industry, killing jobs, killing our timber industry, blocking mining operations from getting up and running, and so much more. President Donald Trump just signed here in the last few days on March 1st. This was Saturday. He just signed a new executive order, the immediate expansion of American timber production. Montana Senator Steve Daines saying this on X: thank you, President Trump, for slashing bureaucratic red tape and expanding America's timber production. From now on, we'll be able to manage our forests more effectively, reduce the risk of wildfires, and support Montana jobs across our timber industry. We'll talk about that and much more in our statewide town hall right after this.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll jump right into it here with Montana's Western District Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. And then in just a few minutes, we'll start taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. Congressman Zinke, great to have you on the show this morning for this statewide town hall meeting. Got to get your take first. Zelensky on Friday. I mean, the guy shows up in his pajamas, and then he tries to lecture us in our house. Your reaction to that and more?
Well, I think you have to reel it back and put it in context. Number one, Zelensky had two strikes. first of all, you remember the Ukrainian obstruction of justice and that impeachment. That was about Hunter Biden and President Biden, and there's a lot of evidence that Zelensky knew and he helped bury it. The second thing is Zelensky came to the United States and campaigned against President Trump. So President Trump met him at the curb, and he looked at him and said, you know, way to dress up. Yeah, that was an indicator. And then the meeting, as you know, what I thought was amazing is most disputes like that are set aside. They come in, they read a script, you know, we're going to work together, et cetera, et cetera. Then they go behind closed doors. If it works, they'll announce what a great deal. But if it doesn't work, they say they're still working on it. But in this case, President Trump said it correctly, great television, because we saw it unfold line by line. And what you saw, a very tough Zelensky, because that's the narrative that he has created with his dress. And also, look, he's negotiated with the EU and Biden before, which they're not Trump. And you can't out-Trump Trump. So sitting there and saying and started putting demands and then said, well, and lecturing them on, well, you got a big, beautiful ocean between the two. Well, you know, you'll understand Russia. Well, I think we understand Russia. The U.S. has been in you know, head-to-head Cold War for years. The number of resources, the number of conflicts between Russia and the United States, this is not the first time. We understand Russia. So you're right. To have Zelensky lecture Trump, and you could see the expressions going back and forth, it was really quite something. I'm hopeful a deal can be made, because at the end of the day, continuing a war, wasting resources, enormous resources, you know, human life, sacrifice, you know, pain, et cetera, et cetera. The war needs to end.
Yeah, and I mean, $350 billion worth, $37 trillion in debt. And I know you've already been voting to rein that in already. Speaking of Russia, it's great to see the unity in our congressional delegation, you, Congressman Downing, and both Senator Steve Daines and Senator Sheehy all now introduced a bill to ban the import of critical minerals from Russia. And obviously this is a great way to not only, you know, stand up for America, but to stand up for the Stillwater mining jobs here in Montana. I mean, we had hundreds of miners that were laid off, and yet the Biden regime still allowed the import of Russian palladium.
And some is permitting. I'm Montana, the treasure state. There is a lot of richness in Montana. Look, we don't mine like we used to. We don't mine when you go up to Virginia City. That's not how we mine anymore. But we need the critical minerals, especially in the U.S., to run the modern economy, both military and civilian. So we have the minerals, but we don't. We should not be beholden and vulnerable to third parties, adversaries, particularly on those minerals. So we need to pivot, in my opinion, and look where our minerals are between our allies and ourselves, and mine them to make sure that we have, again, we don't have vulnerability.
Yeah, I also wonder if, in addition to this legislation that the Montana delegation is backing, that would basically prohibit the import of 8 different minerals from Russia. I wonder if the president could also, you know, use this in these negotiations to get a little more aggressive with Russia as well, because we know if one thing, President Trump is a skilled negotiator working on the art of the deal.
Well, he certainly set the tone that, look, when you come to the United States, we're not equals. The United States is not on the same plane as Ukraine. We are a superpower, and you see Europe. EU together can't pull enough military forces to do much. And they said, well, we're going to send planes, we're going to send this, and we have to get the approval of the U.S. Because without the U.S., NATO doesn't have the ability, as you know, to do much. So the U.S. is the kingpin. But when you come to the U.S. asking for more money, more aid, and there has to be an end, what are the objectives? I would imagine NATO's off the table, and I would imagine the Korean Peninsula is probably off the table. But the exact lines have to be redrawn. But also is the war's got to stop. We're not going to continuously dump blank checks like the Biden administration did without an objective. And I've said in the very beginning, I've been to a lot of battles in my life as a Navy SEAL. I've been to a lot of missions. I've never walked out the door without clearly defined objectives and a plan. And to date, what are the objectives in Ukraine other than to stop, Putin and his aggressiveness? And look, Putin's a war criminal. He's the very definition of a war criminal.
And this whole war would have never started in the first place. Yeah, this whole war would have never started in the first place if we didn't have a weak Biden administration in power. If Donald Trump had been in office, then the war never would have even started in the first place. We got to take a quick break. Call in 294-0970, our town hall with Congressman Zinke.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're doing our statewide town hall meeting with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. The phone lines are open for you. If you have a quick question or comment, call in right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I definitely want to get Congressman Zinke's take on this new executive order, the immediate expansion of American timber production. We'll talk about that and much more. But first, let's get to your phone calls. Let's see. We've got Bob. Now, he's in Portland, Oregon, but he says that he still has a house in Whitefish and he grew up in Whitefish. Bob, did you have a quick question or comment for Congressman Zinke? I understand you guys were at, the Boy Scout Jamboree together a long time ago or something.
Hey, Ryan, it's Bob Beausoleil.
Yeah, go ahead, because I have him on hold so we can hear you better.
Yeah, well, let's get him on the phone.
Well, he's on the phone, so he can hear you. So did you have a question or comment, Bob?
Yeah, I want to ask you, what are you wearing in the 2017 National Scout Jamboree?
So, and is there a point behind what he was, behind your question?
Because, you know what, that's not an official Boy Scout Jamboree. That's not an official Boy Scout uniform.
Okay.
And you know what else? So I'm down on Melita Island this summer, and I have some scout moms come by and ask me. They show me the pictures of Ryan.
Okay, this sounds like some goofball from Oregon. Complaining about what kind of clothes somebody was wearing. Congressman Zinke, I remember when the liberals were complaining because of the socks you were wearing when you were Trump Interior Secretary. I mean, just the most childish, never Trumper stuff we've ever heard out there.
Well, uniforms. I think Zelensky should recognize when the President of the United States meets him at the curb, right? And he goes, "Nice uniform." You can translate it that you should have wore a tie. You come in, but you look, for those dogeaters, by the way, I was reading today that yes, transgender clinics in India funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars through USAID, those contracts were canceled. And if you're a dogeater, I would love you to debate on why you see white taxpayer dollars should go to that. Yeah, there's no justification on that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're seeing fund after fund after fund of taxpayer dollars being used for purposes that are outrageous. And they're being shut down. They should be.
Yeah, I was doing the math. I mean, from one Jesse Waters segment alone. So I know you've been fighting for the St. Mary Irrigation Project, especially after the failure of the siphons. Because, of course, you got St. Mary's starts there in northwest Montana in the Western Congressional District. It's important water for the entire High Line. It's important to the Blackfeet. It's important all the way across Highway 2, basically, and that whole stretch of land, important to our farmers. $200 million was the number I heard to make the upgrades, make the fixes across the board. Heck, I mean, a couple of green scam projects in Central America. Stacey Abrams and her green group got $2 billion alone out of Joe Biden. A fraction of that would have fully taken care of St. Mary's.
Well, you make a great point. Look, you know, Montana, you know, very similar to many states, but Montana, our infrastructure is aging. You have St. Mary's Bypass, which is turn of the 19th century. You got bridges out there that you know, were made 1920. You look at our sewer system. There's a lot of basic infrastructure in Montana that needs to be attended to, and that's a wise, a prudent, and a justified expense of taxpayer dollars. You know, in a lot of cases, let's take, you know, little town of Sealy Lake. You know, a sewer system in Sealy Lake makes a big difference because you can have affordable housing or more affordable housing without a sewer system, without water, and the basic infrastructure. It's really hard to build apartments or housing or business. You know, Sealy Lake doesn't have a car wash. I mean, because they don't have the sewer system to handle it. So there's a lot of things that we need to do here in Montana and in America first. Make sure that our economy prospers. And it's really hard to give other countries money when we're broke. And we are broke, and it can be changed and fixed. But spending, you know, billions and billions of dollars, you know, on you know, gender, you know, issues in Guatemala or transgender clinics in India, and there are others, and the list goes on, enough's enough.
Yeah, that's right. And we're $2 trillion in deficit every year. And Doge is looking to cut just half of that. So Congress is going to have to figure out the other half of that. I mean, and on top of $37 trillion in debt.
Well, what Doge did is, you know, this is not my first rodeo. I've been in Congress and I've been an Interior Secretary, but I didn't have the tools to go in and, you know, we could look under the hood. I knew it was bad, but I didn't have the tools to go in and do the detail. And that's what Doge did. They exposed things that Congress has asked for but didn't have the capability or the technology to look at, you know, line by line, where the money is being sent. And the first hit was when they looked into the U.S. Treasury and they said over $7 trillion of payments, not one was stopped. $7 trillion? I mean, it didn't flag one of them?
That's just crazy. Hold that thought, Congressman Zinke. We got a number of callers on the line. We'll do a bit of a lightning round with some callers and then have Congressman Zinke respond to every single one of you and your questions and comments. 406-294-0970. First up, let's go to Tracy in Kalispell. Tracy, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Congressman Zinke, for all you guys are doing and working so hard. My comment is I have been taking care of my 87-year-old sister. Her husband was a Korean War veteran. I have not been able to get one bit of help from her, for her. And we've been working on this for 2 years now. And we were working with a Nick Luce out of the veterans office, and now we've lost contact with him. So my next question is, how do we get her help?
For a surviving spouse. Yeah, great question. Okay, actually, let's just, instead of our next callers, we'll get to you in a second here. Let's go to Congressman Zinke on that one first. Congressman.
Well, Nick Luce works in my office. He's a West Point Army guy. And get up over the office, and we'll make sure so Nick does work for office. And, look, you have three, you know, combat veterans and a son of a Marine. If there's a problem, I would imagine, you know, we can fix it. But let's, you know, get a hold of the office, and we'll get your name and number, and we'll get on it. But thanks for the call.
Well, and looking at the VA in particular, I mean, Doug Collins is newly on as VA secretary. He's got a big mess to clean up there in that VA. I mean, the millions and millions, I think $60 million alone the VA was wasting on DEI focused employees, and he's finding, you know, the millions and potentially billions in waste, and is going to redirect that to back to veterans. So it sounds like he's got a big mess to try to clean up there.
He does, and, you know, I said in appropriation, Congress appropriated more than President Biden asked for VA, so we we gave them more money than actually they asked for. And then they come back towards the end of last year and say, oh, well, we've kind of misspent. We overshot by, you know, $8 billion or so. I mean, one is it's a gross, mismanagement where you're that short when we're giving them more money. And, you know, veterans too, you know, there's a lot of programs that just don't work. And everything needs to be looked at. You know, good programs stay, bad programs should go away, or a program that's not effective, you know, should be evaluated, and if it needs to be tweaked so it is effective. But across the board, the VA, I think, needs to be reorganized. You go to, the clinics in Montana are pretty good, but they also have a feeling when you go in, they're not a normal clinic. I don't like the plexiglass. I don't like the feeling you're going into something that is like a veteran's a threat. You have their own police force there. So I think there's a lot we can do on the VA, and I wish Collins, I served with him. I wish him well, but he's got a tough task, as you point out.
Yeah, even the great folks that work at our local VA clinics will tell you the bureaucracy can be so frustrating. Okay, next caller on the phone lines. Let's see. We've got Jacob in Billings. Jacob, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I was like there's a nature conservancy up in the Breaks. I noticed there's a plot that they own up there that's right next to the American Prairie Reserve. They have 26,000 acres. They've received over $500 million in U.S. aid. I would like to know why our government is giving these people millions of dollars to buy up our farmland. That's a national security issue.
All right, Jacob, thanks for the call. Let me cue up Congressman Zinke.
Congressman Zinke,
yeah, go ahead, Congressman.
I said, well, you need the United States to show that. The big question is why. We'll look into it. That's the first I've heard of that one. But, you know, again, taxpayer dollars have been abused. But, you know, there's 26 trillion reasons, why we need to stop it. There's a lot of worthy programs, and we can have the debate. You know, I love the debate about whether a project is worthy of taxpayer dollars, but there should be no debate about fraud, waste, and abuse. And we need to stop that and make sure that money is being directed on projects that, again, are a priority or in the interest of Montana or America.
All right, the time is flying by. We already got to hit our next break here, and then we'll get to Jared and Anaconda on the phone lines, plus Grandpa Lou in Billings, and a phone line for you if you want to call in, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well for our statewide town hall meeting here with Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. So, yeah, stand by, and then Jared and Anaconda, you'll be first up on the phone lines right after this quick break here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, and today with your congressman.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
This week, farmers from across the nation are gathered in Denver, Colorado for the 2025 Commodity Classic, taking in educational sessions and opportunities and exploring the acres and acres of trade show here in downtown Denver. Yesterday afternoon, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins addressed attendees and spoke about the difficulties farmers and ranchers are facing in the farm economy.
Clearly, there are a lot of factors that go into this, but when you've got a $49 billion trade deficit, that is devastating to our American farmers and ranchers. $49 billion. I think on Friday it was $45 billion, and I think some new numbers have since come out. When the cost of inputs went up 30% just in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, how do any of our farmers make any money? When the cost of inputs go up 30%, your trade deficit increases $49 billion now, and then you have a whole host of regulations that have been layered on over and over and over again. So there are a lot of factors. We are attacking it from all sides, putting together the plan that can hopefully begin to roll that back. I am planning to very aggressively, with President Trump's permission, go out into the world and look to expand our markets and also make capital easier, especially for our younger farmers, as we begin to build, hopefully, the next generation of our leaders in agriculture.
From Denver, I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Statewide town hall meeting with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke here on the show today. Let's go right back into the phone lines. Jared in Anaconda listening to KXTL. Jared, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Democrat, so I listen to y'all for decent news and, like, because Mr. Zinke is, and you know, it's hard for me to say this as a Democrat, but he's actually been doing a good job, and Gianforte, too. I'll never change because I'm salt of the earth Democrat, but all my friends are Republican. But I really just hate when people take y'all's platform, like that guy that called in when Mr. Zinke's on. There's still respect for a congressman. You don't make fun of a person's clothing. I mean, heck, I wear bib overalls almost 90% of the time.
And while you're playing some great music at a local establishment there too, but yeah, that's my thing with that guy from Portland is it's like, look, dude, we're not here to waste people's time. You don't like what socks he's wearing or what outfit he wore to a Boy Scout jamboree? Who cares? Ask a relevant question about the issue of the day or a comment, and like, you know, yeah. But so, what would your question or comment of the day be?
Mine is I really would love some of the fuel that is our forestry to be taken down. If you ever read or, you know, look at any Lewis and Clark depictions of what Montana was, it wasn't 20 trillion trees that need to be taken down. Yeah, we need to have, you know, like mediation zones around creeks, but we really got to get some of this fuel out.
Yeah, amen to that one. I know we agree on that one, and we don't always agree on everything, but Jared, yeah, we agree on that one. Jared, great to hear from you. Congressman Zinke, that kind of ties in with this executive order that President Trump just signed over the weekend, immediate expansion of American timber production.
Well, and I think we can all agree that our forests should be healthy, and they're not. You know, across Montana, you know, you look at, you know, the canopy, everything below it is dead. And bears don't eat trees. And so you have to have diversity of species. You have to have, you know, grasses, and management principles that make sure we can, have healthy forests. And it is about management, but the fuel load is too high, and these huge burns that go across, you know, not only are they they ruin habitat, watershed, and stuff like that, but look, you know, in the summer, you know, we deserve to have a great summer and be able to go outside and enjoy the very reason why, you know, we live in Montana, whether it's the Pentlers or the cabinets. But these large scale burns in a lot of ways are actually, you know, we can get in there and prevent them. You know, preventative maintenance by reducing the fuel load, going back to a working forest and making sure the habitat. But you can't do it by saying let nature take its course and not actively managing. You know, the timber industry, you look at, you know, some of the places in around Libya, for instance, the sustained yield by almost every study is somewhere in the 220 million board feet a year. And we saw it atrophy down the Forest Service allowed about 60, and you saw the mills starting to close. And the recent plan has it about 5 million board feet. That means every year you're going to have over 200 million board feet of overgrowth. So it's a time bomb ticking. We can do a better job. And promoting jobs in the forest and getting back and using our natural resources, our sustainable natural resources, is the right path.
Yeah, we've actually got in an America First president like Donald J. Trump is just the president to deliver this finally after decades of our timber industry and our mining industry and our entire industrial base in this state being destroyed by these left-wing federal judges and the radical environmental groups. All right, hold that thought, Congressman Zinke. I'd love to get your take too on, hey, can we get these mines near Libby?
up and running once again. That'd be huge for that area, especially for folks struggling with all the high inflation that Trump inherited from the last 4 years of the Biden regime. We'll get to that here in a second. But first, let's go to Grandpa Lou in Billings on the phone lines. Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I just want to give out a huge, huge shout out to Congressman Zinke, Congressman Downing, and our two senators, Senator Daines and Senator Sheehy, on stepping up and protecting and trying to get to save our mines up in the Stillwater mine, and all that stuff is national security. And if I'm not mistaken, all the miners that get laid off, that's roughly $85 million a year lost wages to Montana and the economy. And if I remember right, every dollar that's spent is turned over like five or six times. So that's huge, huge money. And I just want to thank all of them for their service and simplify.
Yeah, well said, Grandpa Lou. Great to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, I think we all know, you know, some laid-off Stillwater miners, and some of whom are still trying to figure out what to do next. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's places to mine, there's places that are not good for mining, you know, and as a secretary, you know, looking at a proposed mine that was right outside of Yellowstone, that was not the place to mine. But in Libby and Stillwater, there is no environmental reason at all. It's in the permitting process has become such a labyrinth that you know, if you're an investor and you're looking at maybe a permit being issued in 25 years, that's not a great place to put your money. And you got to accelerate the permitting process to give a yes or no in a much earlier. And you're right, you know, mining, you know, when we're dependent upon, in many cases, our adversary. For instance, we have way too much dependence on Russia for uranium and others, as well as China controls germanium. They control a lot of the processing of rare and critical minerals, and it is a supply chain. And it's not just about mining. It's about the processing, too, and delivery of the materials for manufacturing. So we got to look at the entirety of our supply chain to make sure we're not vulnerable. And that there's, you know, the world's changed in the last 30 years. There's critical and you know, minerals as like germanium that are absolutely essential for a lot of the high definition military lenses, etc. FLIR produces them right in beautiful Bozeman, Montana, but they get the crystals from China. Matter of fact, they send the specs to China. And China grows the crystals and sends them back. That's how vulnerable we are, and we don't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, again, there's a great place to mine. There's places that not to mine, but I can tell you, Stillwater and you know, Lincoln County and those mines, they've looked at it exhaustive, and that's a great place to draw minerals out and do it right.
Yeah, it's like, why are we cutting these checks to China? Why are we cutting these checks to Russia when we could be cutting these checks to miners right here and Billings, Laurel, Columbus, Park City, all across the state, miners in Libby. All right, hold that thought. Let's get to our next caller here. Great to hear from Dane in the Flathead. I think Dane has a different perspective on the Zelensky-Trump White House meeting. Dane, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
I'm just calling to correct your thoughts here. It's no 350 that got burped out. But it looks like the corrected amounts are $178 billion from the United States, $195 from Europe. And keep in mind that this wasn't just simply a cash check, but rather a lot of that was munitions purchased from the United States. So it went to those companies that produced that and those employees as well. Plus, the books are open in Ukraine. People are welcome, and that means you, Congressman, you'll have the means. You can look at those books and see where the expenditures go. Has there been fraud downrange from receiving? Yes. But it isn't a thing where we just hand him a check and he does as he wishes with it. As far as it needs to be in the United States' best interest. This abdication of historical literacy that don't know that rewarding an invader when he has put in print his hunger for other territories, other countries, Moldova, we know about the Balkans.
Well, I guess who rewarded invaders here? Who allowed Russia access to our palladium after they invaded? Joe Biden. Who kept the oil money flowing to Russia? Joe Biden. Who let the oil money flow to Iran? Joe Biden. Who let the oil money flow to Venezuela? Joe Biden. Who is rewarding dictators? Donald Trump stopped dictators from invading other countries. Joe Biden gave him a check afterwards. That's my take anyway.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we only had about a quick 15 seconds there before that last break, or I would have thrown it right back to Congressman Ryan Zinke. But I gave my take, Congressman Zinke, your take on this. Is Trump rewarding dictators? It seems quite the opposite, if you ask me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but it's a good point brought up. It's how much have we spent? You know, the figure 195, I've seen figures that are both higher and lower. Accountability, I've also seen figures that as much as a third isn't going where we think. And the reason why I say a blank check is we give weapon systems. We don't know where those weapon systems go. And I was not a proponent of the cluster bombs. And I dealt with them as a former Navy SEAL. I dealt with them overseas and the effects, you know, after on civilian populations. But when you give weapon systems and they're used, uncoordinated, that's a problem. So blank checks and, $195 billion, you know, considering, as you point out, St. Mary's bypass is, you know, maybe around $250 million and infrastructure. And I'll go back to, tell me what the objectives are. You know, I believe in defending freedom. Putin is not one of my favorite guys at all. I think he's a war criminal. Absolutely, he is the aggressor. On that, there were circumstances that set that up. A weak U.S. You leaving Afghanistan. Our enemies didn't fear us, obviously, and our allies didn't. Didn't agree with this, and in many cases were no longer had a trust relationship with the U.S. I'm hoping it stops. You know, we can spend money in a lot of different ways and stop the bleeding. And look, there are people. I've been to war. I can tell there are people suffering right now. So let's stop it and negotiate a settlement. But you know, my dealings with the Russians. You never negotiate from weakness.
Yeah, great point. Great point.
You got to be strong on it.
I think Donald Trump is actually taking a lot of the wind out of Vladimir Putin's sails on the home front. I had Obama's ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, a Montana guy. Anyway, I'll tell that story another day. But since we're short on time and we're doing our statewide town hall meeting, this is your chance to chat with Congressman Ryan Zinke. Let's go next to Tim in Billings. Tim, did you have a quick question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Earlier you were speaking about the wildfires and the board feet of lumber available in our forests. And I actually mentioned this to Senator Sheehy when he was campaigning, and I think what would be a good thing for citizens, for taxpayers, is if we could establish a pre-tax fund that people could have for disaster preparedness. Get storable food, get water filtration, get stored water. Get sandbags. Get be able to hire some arborist to come in and clear some defensible space between the wild land and urban interface on your property, so that you don't lose your home.
So more support for disaster preparation instead of all of the money that ends up having to go towards disaster response. All right, Congressman Zinke, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, that's to a degree what the Good Neighbor Program does, which I think it ought to be expanded in the landscape nearly, because you don't need seven types of government, seven agencies in the same acre of ground. And we've seen that we're so bogged down with bureaucracy, it's hard to cut a tree that's identified as a danger tree that's going to fall, let's say, across a power line. So you would think the Forest Service could just chop it down, but they can't. And so we need to streamline things so we can get things done. But I think we all agree that we want healthy forests. And I don't want to see them burn down every year. I want to see habitat that is healthy, diversity of species. We need to use prescribed burns. Mechanical extraction is part of it. Is part of a healthy forest. But we can do a lot better management. I think it was one of our greatest gems as a country is our outdoor experience. There's no better in the world than what the U.S. has in our public lands. And I've never been an advocate for selling or transferring public lands, but certainly, Montanans, we can agree and push the politics aside. Let's make sure our objective should be a healthier forest that we can all enjoy.
Well, and let's reopen some of this access that the radical environmental groups have shut down through left-wing federal judges, et cetera. And I know we only got another minute or so to go, or I'd sneak in a couple of more great callers here on the phone lines, but since we only got about a minute or so to go, Congressman Zinke, I feel like Donald Trump is that new boss who comes in and says, okay, guys, what do we need to do to make this company better? What can we do to support you? What can we do to help get the job done? And now you start dreaming big. Oh, we could do this. We could get this done. We could get that done. I feel like that's the kind of boss who Trump is right now. What are the big things we as Montanans could be asking for right now?
Well, it's interesting. You roll back the tape, the 33 days or so he's been in office, what's occurred. You have 10,000 Mexican troops patrolling the southern border. You have the Royal Mounties patrolling the northern border. Venezuela will take back 300,000. El Salvador will take back anyone we send them. China is out of the Panama Canal. Yes, we are negotiating for Greenland. The war in Ukraine hopefully will come to an end. And never in my wildest dreams would ever think about, Gaza Golf Course and Resort. And if you don't think it's real, Google Gulf of America. This is real, folks.
That's right. They've already changed the maps, and so is Apple, too. Congressman Zinke, greatly appreciate your time. Sorry we're out of time today, but thanks for joining us for the statewide town hall meeting.